Chapter 36. Among the Elders.
As Juan took them through the Ogier town, Rand saw that Loyal was growing more and more anxious. Loyal's ears were as stiff as his back. His eyes grew bigger every time he saw another Ogier looking at him, especially the women and girls, and a large number of them did seem to take notice of him. He looked as if he expected his own execution. The bearded Ogier gestured to wide steps leading down into a grassy mound that was bigger by far than any other. It was a hill, for all practical purposes, almost at the base of one of the great trees.
"Why don't you wait out here, Loyal?" Rand said.
"The elders,"
Juan began.
"Probably just want to see the rest of us," Rand finished for him.
"Why don't they leave him alone?" Matt put in.
Loyal nodded vigorously.
Yes, I think."
A number of Ogier women were watching him, from white-haired grandmothers to daughters Aerith's age, a knot of them talking among themselves, but with all eyes on him. His ears jerked, but he looked at the broad door to which the stone steps led down and nodded again.
"Yes, I will sit out here and I'll read. That is it, I will read."
Fumbling in his coat pocket, he produced a book. He settled himself on the mound beside the steps, the book small in his hands, and fixed his eyes on the pages.
"I will just sit here and read until you come out."
His ears twitched as if he could feel the women's eyes. Juan shook his head, then shrugged and motioned to the steps again.
"If you please, the elders are waiting."
The huge windowless room inside the mound was scaled for Ogier, with a thick-beamed ceiling more than 4 spans up. It could have fit in any palace, for size at least. The 7 Ogier seated on the dais directly in front of the door made it shrink a little by their size, but Rand still felt as if he were in a cavern. The somber floor stones were smooth, if large and irregular in shape, but the gray walls could have been the rough side of a cliff. The ceiling beams, rough-hewn as they were, looked like great roots. Except for a high-backed chair where Varen sat facing the dais, the only furnishings were the heavy, vine-covered chairs of the elders. The Ogier woman in the middle of the dais sat in a chair raised a little higher than those of the others, 3 bearded men to her left in long, flaring coats, 3 women to her right in dresses like her own, embroidered in vines and flowers from neckline to hem. All had aged faces and pure white hair, even to the tufts on their ears, and an air of massive dignity. Huron gaped at them openly, and Rand felt like staring himself. Not even Varen had the appearance of wisdom that was in the elder's huge eyes, nor more gaze in her crown their authority, nor Moraine their calm serenity. Ingtar was the first to bow, as formally as Rand had ever seen from him, while the others still stood rooted.
"I am Allah,"
the Ogier woman on the highest chair said, when they had finally taken their places beside Varen.
"Eldest of the elders of Stedding Tsofu. Varen has told us that you have need to use the waygate here. To recover the Horn of Valir from Dark Friends is a great need indeed, but we have allowed none to travel the ways in more than 100 years, neither us nor the elders of any other Stedding."
"I will find the horn," Ingtar said angrily. "I must. If you will not permit us to use the waygate..."
He fell silent as Varen looked at him, but the scowl remained on his face. Alar smiled.
"Be not so hasty, Shinaran. You humans never take time for thought. Only decisions reached in calm can be sure."
Her smile faded to seriousness, but her voice kept its own measured calm.
"The dangers of the ways are not to be faced with a sword in your hand, not charging Aiel or ravening Trollocs. I must tell you that to enter the ways is to risk not only death and madness, but perhaps your very souls."
"We have seen much in Shin," Rand said, and Matt and Perrin agreed.
They could not manage to sound eager to do it again.
"I will follow the horn to Sheol Ghul itself, if need be," Ingtar said firmly.
Huron only nodded as if including himself in Ingtar's words.
"Bring Treol,"
Alar commanded, and Juan, who had remained by the door, bowed and left.
"It is not enough," she told Varen, "to hear what can happen. You must see it, know it in your heart."
There was an uncomfortable silence until Juan returned, and it became more uncomfortable still as two Ogier women followed him, guiding a dark-bearded Ogier of middle years who shambled between them, as if he did not quite know how his legs worked. His face sagged without any expression at all, and his big eyes were vacant and unblinking, not staring, not looking, not even seeming to see. One of the women gently wiped drool from the corner of his mouth. They took his arms to stop him. His foot went forward, hesitated, then fell back with a thump. He seemed as content to stand as to walk, or at least as uncaring.
"Treol was one of the last among us to go along the ways,"
Alar said softly.
"He came out as you see him. Will you touch him, Varen?"
Varen gave her a long look, then rose and strode to Treol. He did not move as she laid her hands on his wide chest, not even a flicker of an eye to acknowledge her touch. With a sharp hiss, she jerked back, staring up at him, then whirled to face the elders.
"He is empty. This body lives, but there is nothing inside it. Nothing."
Every elder wore a look of unbearable sadness.
"Nothing,"
one of the elders to Alar's right said softly. Her eyes seemed to hold all the pain Treol's no longer could.
"No mind, no soul. Nothing of Treol remains but his body."
"He was a fine tree singer,"
one of the men sighed. Alar motioned, and the two women turned Treol to lead him out. They had to move him before he began to walk.
"We know the risks," Varen said. "But whatever the risks, we must follow the Horn of Valyr."
The eldest nodded.
"The Horn of Valyr. I do not know whether it is worse news that it is in Darkfriend hands, or that it has been found at all."
She looked down the row of elders. Each nodded in turn, one of the men tugging his beard doubtfully first.
"Very well. Varen tells me time is urgent. I will show you to the Waygate myself."
Rand was feeling half relieved and half afraid when she added,
"You have with you a young Ogier, Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Hullin, from Stilling Shangtai. He is far from his home."
"We need him," Rand said quickly. His words slowed under surprised stares from the elders and Varen, but he went on stubbornly. "We need him to go with us, and he wants to." "Loyal's a friend," Perrin said, at the same time that Matt said, "He doesn't get in the way, and he carries his own weight." Neither of them appeared comfortable at having the elders' focus shift to them, but they did not back down. "Is there some reason he cannot come with us?" Ingtar asked. "As Matt says, he has held his own. I don't know that we need him, but if he wants to come, why?"
"We do need him," Varen broke in smoothly. "Few any longer know the ways, but Loyal has studied them. He can decipher the guidings."
Alar eyed them each in turn, then settled to a study of Rand. She looked as if she knew things. All the elders did, but she most of all.
"Varen says you are Taviran,"
she said at last.
"And I can feel it in you. That I can do so means that you must be very strongly Taviran indeed, for such talents ever run weakly in us, if at all. Have you drawn Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Hallen, into Tomorrow Island, the web the pattern weaves around you?"
I just want to find the horn and—" Rand let the rest of it die. Alar had not mentioned Matt's dagger. He did not know whether Varen had told the elders or held it back for some reason.
"He is my friend, eldest."
"Your friend,"
Alar said.
"He is young, by our way of thinking. You are young too, but Taviran. You will look after him, and when the weaving is done, you will see that he comes safely home to Stedding Shangtai."
"I will," he told her. It had the feeling of a commitment, the swearing of an oath.
"Then we will go to the Waygate."
Outside, Loyal scrambled to his feet when they appeared, Alar and Varen leading. Ingtar sent Hurin off at a run to fetch Uno and the other soldiers. Loyal eyed the eldest warily, then fell in with Rand at the rear of the procession. The ogre women who had been watching him were all gone.
Did the elder say anything about me? Did she?
He peered at Alar's broad back as she ordered Juin to have their horses brought. She started off with Varen, while Juin was still bowing himself away, bending her head to talk quietly.
She told Rand to take care of you, Matt told Loyal, solemnly, as they followed,
and see you got home safely as a babe. I don't see why you can't stay here and get married. She said you could come with us. Rand glared at Matt, which made Matt chortle under his breath. It sounded odd coming from that drawn face. Loyal was twirling the stem of a trueheart blossom between his fingers.
Did you go picking flowers? Rand asked.
Aerith gave it to me.
Loyal watched the yellow petals spin.
She really is very pretty, even if Matt does not see it.
Does that mean you don't want to go with us after all? Loyal gave a start.
What? Oh, no. I mean, yes. I do want to go. She only gave me a flower. Just a flower.
He took a book out of his pocket, though, and pressed the blossom under the front cover. As he returned the book, he murmured to himself, barely loud enough for Rand to hear.
And she said I was handsome, too.
Matt let out a wheeze and doubled over, staggering along, clutching his sides, and Loyal's cheeks colored.
Well, she said it. I didn't.
Perrin rapped Matt smartly on the top of his head with his knuckles. Nobody ever said Matt was handsome. He's just jealous.
That's not true, Matt said, straightening abruptly. Marisa Ellen thinks I'm handsome. She told me so more than once.
Is Marisa pretty?
Loyal asked.
She has a face like a goat, Perrin said blandly.
Matt choked, trying to get his protests out. Rand grinned in spite of himself. Marisa was almost as pretty as Egwene, and this was almost like old times, almost like being back home, bantering back and forth, and nothing more important in the world than a laugh and twitting the other fellow. As they made their way through the town, Ogier greeted the eldest, bowing or curtsying, eyeing the human visitors with interest. Alar's set face kept anyone from stopping to speak, though. The only thing that indicated when they left the town was the absence of the mounds. There were still ogier about, examining trees or sometimes working with pitch and saw or axe, where there were dead limbs or where a tree needed more sunlight. They handled the tasks tenderly. Juin joined them, leading their horses, and Hurin came riding with Uno and the other soldiers and the pack horses just before Alar pointed and said,
"It is over there."
The banter died. Rand felt a momentary surprise. The waygate had to be outside the steading. The ways had been begun with the one power. They could not have been made inside, but there was nothing to indicate they had crossed the boundary. Then he realized there was a difference. The sense of something lost that he had felt since entering the steading was gone. That gave him another sort of chill. Sidine was there again, waiting. Alar led them past a tall oak, and there, in a small clearing, stood the big slab of the waygate, the front of it delicately worked in tightly woven vines and leaves from 100 different plants. Around the edge of the clearing, the ogier had built a low stone coping that seemed as if it had grown there, suggesting a circle of roots. The look of it made Rand uncomfortable. It took him a moment to realize that the roots suggested were those of bramble and briar, burning leaf and itch oak. Not the sort of plants in which anyone would want to stumble. The eldest stopped short of the coping.
The wall is meant to warn away any who comes here. Not that many of us do. I myself will not cross it, but you may.
Juin did not go as close as she did. He kept rubbing his hands in the front of his coat and would not look at the waygate.
Thank you, Varen told her. The need is great, or I would not have asked it.
Rand tensed as the Aes Sedai stepped over the coping and approached the waygate. Loyal took a deep breath and muttered to himself. Uno and the rest of the soldiers shifted in their saddles and loosened swords in their scabbards. There was nothing along the ways against which a sword would be any use, but it was something to convince themselves they were ready. Only Ingtar and the Aes Sedai seemed calm. Even Alla gripped her skirt with both hands. Varen plucked the Avendisora leaf, and Rand leaned forward intently. He knew an urge to assume the void, to be where he could reach Sidene if he needed to. The greenery carved across the waygate stirred in an unfelt breeze, leaves fluttering as a gap opened down the center of the mass, and the two halves began to swing open. Rand stared at the first crack. There was no dull, silvery reflection behind it, only blackness blacker than pitch. "Close it!" he shouted. "The black wind! Close it!" Varen took one startled look and thrust the three-pointed leaf back in among all the varied leaves already there. It stayed when she took her hand away and back toward the coping. As soon as the Avendasaur leaf was back in its place, the waygate immediately began to close. The crack disappeared, vines and leaves merging, hiding the blackness of Machin Shin. And the waygate was only stone again, if stone carved in a nearer semblance of life than seemed possible. Alar let out a shuddering breath.
Machin Shin, so close.
It didn't try to come out, Rand said. Juan made a strangled sound.
I have told you, Varen said. The Black Wind is a creature of the ways. It cannot leave them.
She sounded calm, but she still wiped her hands on her skirt. Rand opened his mouth, then gave it up.
And yet, she went on, I wonder at it being here. First in Kyrian, now here. I wonder.
She gave Rand a sidelong glance that made him jump. The look was so quick that he did not think anyone else noticed it, but to Rand it seemed to connect him with the Black Wind.
I have never heard of this,
Alar said slowly.
Machin Shin waiting when a waygate was opened. It always roamed the ways. But it has been long, and perhaps the Black Wind hungers and hopes to catch some unwary one entering a gate. Varen, assuredly you cannot use this waygate, and however great your need, I cannot say I am sorry. The ways belong to the shadow now.
Rand frowned at the waygate. Could it be following me? There were too many questions. Had Fane somehow ordered the Black Wind? Varen said it could not be done, and why would Fane demand that he follow, then try to stop him? He only knew that he believed the message. He had to go to Toman Head. If they found the Horn of Valir and Matt's dagger under a bush tomorrow, he still had to go. Varen stood with eyes unfocused in thought. Matt was sitting on the coping with his head in his hands, and Perrin watched him worriedly. Loyal seemed relieved that they could not use the waygate and ashamed at being relieved.
We are done for here, Ingtar announced. Varen Sedai, I followed you here against my better judgment, but I can no longer follow. I mean to return to Kyrian. Barthanas can tell me where the Dark Friends went, and somehow I will make him do it.
Fane went to Toman Head, Rand said wearily. And where he went, that's where the horn is and the dagger.
I suppose, Perrin shrugged reluctantly. I suppose we could try another waygate at another steading.
Loyal stroked his chin and spoke quickly as if to make up for his relief at the failure here.
Steading Cantuan lies just above the river Irelel, and Steading Tajin is east of it in the spine of the world. But the waygate in Camelon, where the grove was, is closer, and the gate in the grove at Tarvalen is closest of all.
Whichever waygate we try to use, Varen said absently, I fear we will find Machin Shin waiting.
Alar looked at her questioningly, but the Aes Sedai said no more that anyone could hear. She muttered to herself instead, shaking her head as if arguing with herself.
What we need, Huron said diffidently, is one of those portal stones.
He looked to Alar, then Varen, and when neither told him to stop, he went on, sounding increasingly confident.
The Lady Selene said those old Sedai had studied those worlds, and that was how they knew how to make the ways. And that place we were, well, it only took us 2 days less to travel 100 leagues. If we could use a portal stone to go to that world, or one like it, why, it'd take no more than a week or two to reach the Arath Ocean. And we could come back right on Toman Head. Maybe it isn't so quick as the ways, but it's a long sight quicker than riding off west. What do you say, Lord Ingtar? Lord Rand?
Varen answered him.
What you suggest might be possible, Sniffer, but as well hope to open this waygate again and find Machin Shin gone, as hope to find a portal stone.
I know none closer than the Aiel Waste. Though we could go back into Kinslayer's Dagger if you or Rand, or Loyal, think you could find that stone again.
Rand looked at Matt. His friend had lifted his head hopefully at this talk of the stones. A few weeks, Varen had said. If they simply rode west, Matt would never live to see Tommen Head.
I can find it, Rand said reluctantly.
He felt ashamed. Matt's going to die. Dark friends have the Horn of Valir. Fain will hurt Emmon's field if you don't follow him. And you're afraid to channel the power. Once to go and once to come back. Twice more won't drive you mad.
What really made him afraid, though, was the eagerness that leaped inside him at the thought of channeling again, of feeling the power fill him, of feeling truly alive.
I do not understand this, Alar said slowly. The portal stones have not been used since the Age of Legends. I did not think there was anyone who still knew how to use them.
The Brown Adja knows many things, Varen said dryly. And I know how the stones may be used.
The eldest nodded.
Truly there are wonders in the White Tower of which we do not dream. But if you can use a portal stone, there is no need for you to ride to Kinslayer's Dagger. There is a stone not far from where we stand.
The wheel weaves as the wheel wills, and the pattern provides what is needful.
The absent look dropped from Varen's face altogether.
Take us to it, she said briskly. We have lost more than enough time already.